Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We're now in Nedarim, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet. Continuing with the Mishnah, it discusses those things that a Madir may do on behalf of Mudar. And the second half of the Mishnah, which is the first part of Mishnah Gimel, says that Malamdomi Drash Halachot V'Agadot V'Aloi Lamdenu Mikra. And the Mishnah distinguishes between teaching Tanakh, scripture, if you will, and teaching Torah Shabbal Peh. That Mikra cannot be taught. Mikra my time aloi lamdenu, so why aren't you allowed to teach Mikra? Shum de kamahani lei, because you're giving the person you're teaching benefit. Why? Midrash nami kamahani lei. That's also true if you are teaching someone Torah Shabbal Peh. Shmuel makom shenot limschar lemikra v'not limschar lemidrash. So Shmuel says, he was referring to a custom, which was evidently a common custom, which was that this is a place where they take payment for teaching Mikra, and they don't take payment for teaching Midrash. Gemara then asks, my psaka. In other words, how do you come to that determination that such a custom exists? Why would there be such a distinction? So what Shmuel is really saying is that even in a place where they do take payment for teaching Torah, which evidently was not the norm, nonetheless, you're only allowed to take payment for teaching Tanakh and not the rest. Now, Maishna Midrash Dulo, which is really our original question. Why are you not allowed to take payment for Midrash? God commanded me to teach you, says Moshe. And we see, I have taught you as God commanded. Meaning, I have taught you as God taught me. Just as God taught me without payment, so I teach you without payment, and therefore you're not allowed to teach for payment. So mikra nami b'chinam, so that also applies to Tanakh. You're not allowed to teach any Torah for payment. Rav Amar Schar Shimur. So Rav says what you're paying for when it comes to mikra, because the assumption is teaching Tanakh is happening to little children, is there's also a babysitting fee. You're watching the kids. V'yochan Amar Schar Pisuk Tamim. Rav Yochanan says no, that what you're paying for is the science of punctuation, which he says is not part of the Torah itself, but is external to it, and therefore that you're allowed to take payment for like any other vocational skill. When you learn to read Tanakh, you have to learn how to punctuate and how to use the Tamim, whether they are an oral tradition, as in Rabbi Yochanan's time, or in a written form, as we have today, since the Balei HaMasorah of the 6th to 9th centuries, and the markings of the Tamim. Now, Tanan lo yilam denu mikra, so our Mishnah says you're not allowed to teach in mikra. Bishtamal lamandamar schar pisuk Tamim, now I understand, according to Yochanan, why you're not allowed to teach him. Because, after all, you're also giving him a skill for which you could take payment, which is the punctuation. Wait a second, our assumption in the Mishnah is that the Mudar is an adult because he has kids who you can teach. And so, according to Rav, who says the only reason you can take payment for Mikra is because you're babysitting, you're not babysitting an adult. So, b'katan k'tani, we're talking about a katan. Iba katan, ema seifa v'amalamenet panav mikra, katan bar banim hu. So, as I mentioned before, how can you say that our Mishnah is referring to a katan? After all, the end of the Mishnah says that you can teach his children. And if he's a katan, he doesn't have children. So, chasur mechsar hachiktani, our Mishnah needs to be expanded a little bit. Lo yom denu mikra b'katan. Meaning you could teach an adult anything, according to Rav, even Mikra. But if he's a Katan, the one thing you can't teach him is Mikra because you're watching. Of course, that raises an interesting question, is if he's a Katan, anything you're teaching him, you're also watching. Why only Mikra? Right, it's a little bit of a difficulty. Im haya gadol, but if he's a gadol, malam dolo ulevanam Mikra. Then you could teach both his children, and you could also teach him Mikra. Now, the question is, why, if it's Schar Shimur, so why you're allowed to teach the kids? After all, you're benefiting the father in that you're watching the kids. Rav's position is more difficult. Meitave, we have a challenge against this. Tinokot lo kori matchila b'Shabbat al Shalim Rishon. Kids, they used to study every day, including Shabbat, but they're not allowed to study new material on Shabbat. They can review it for the first time. Shonin b'Rishon. We think that the problem here is one of payment. So we understand, according to the one that says Pisuk Tamim, Hainu Dein kori matchila b'Shabbat, because that's something you teach the first time through, and you get paid for it. Elamanda, and the problem is paid for work on Shabbat. Elamanda mar schar shimur, amayin kori matchila b'Shabbat. What does it matter if you're studying a first time or reviewing? Either way, babysitting the same deal. Maishonin barishon, teikas schar shimur b'Shabbat. You're still watching the kid on Shabbat. Veitamech schar pisuk b'Shabbat mi'asur. And parenthetically, if you teach the kids all week, and one of the days is Shabbat, and every time you teach them, you're teaching them the skill of reading with punctuation, that's not asur. Havla'ahi, that's called havla'ah, when you take the payment for work, which includes Shabbat, and make it a week payment, or a month payment, or whatever it is, per month, per week. The Tanya, socher tapoel lishmor tatinok. Let's say you hire somebody to watch your kid. Lishmor tapara, to watch a cow. Lishmor tazraim, to watch the field. Ain't only loschar Shabbat. You can't pay him per diem for Shabbat. Lefichach, im avdu, ain't ocheyav bachar yutar. And as a result of that, if he's watching them on Shabbat, then he's not a, he's called a shomer sacha. And therefore, as a shomer chinam, if they get lost, he's not chayav. Bimaya schir Shabbat, but let's say you paid him for the week, schir chodesh for the month, schar shana for the year, schir shavua for 7 years. In other words, Shabbat was just 1/7 of the time for which you paid him. Then you can pay him for including Shabbat. Therefore, he is considered a shomer sachar, and if they got lost, even on Shabbat, then he is chayav. Now, elegus, meaning, so there is no problem with teaching the kid either one of those things on Shabbat, then the things that you get paid for, as long as you're not paying him per day. So what's the reason that kids are not allowed to read a thing for the first time on Shabbat? It has nothing to do with our issue. It's going to affect their parents' enjoyment of Shabbat because they're going to be so concentrated on this intellectual endeavor. The other possibility is because on Shabbat you eat and drink more, and it's a little bit difficult. Shmuel said that the beginning of really getting sick is when you just change your habits. And so if they're going to be both engaged in the very difficult study, but they've also eaten more, so they're a little bit slower and heavier, in sort of a sleepy, if you will, or a little bit more, you know, if they've eaten more, then it's going to be difficult and it may lead to them getting sick. Which means the issue of teaching them, if difficult, a new thing for the first time on Shabbat has nothing to do with getting payment, it has to do with schar pisuk tavim or schar shimur. It just has to do with how it's going to affect them physically or how it's going to affect the onik Shabbat of their parents. Good. Ulamandar or schar pisuk tavim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not so easy either. My time alomar schar shimur, why didn't he agree with Rav that schar shimur? Kasavar vanot mikabayan shimur. He believes that schar shimur is something that's only a consideration for boys. And the Mishnah said that he can teach the boys and the girls. All right, so that can't be the reason. Umadar or Schar Shimur, my tana or Schar Pisuk Tamin, so why didn't Rav agree with Schar Pisuk Tamin? Kasara Pisuk Tamin da'oraitahu. He holds that the science of studying trope is itself da'oraita, and therefore, you also can't get paid for it. Very important pasuk in Nechemiah. Vayikru b'sefer Torah ta'elohim b'levim, read the Sefer Torah meforash, explicatively and clearly, the som sechel, with intelligence. Vayavinu b'mikra, and they explained it. What does that mean? Vayikru b'sefer Torah ta'elohim, it's a mikra that refers to the text. Meforash, zet targum, that's the translation to Aramaic. The som sechel, elu apsukim, meaning they show them where to stop each sentence. Remember, the Sefer Torah has no punctuation at all. Vayavinu b'mikra is a pisuk tamim. That's the punctuation within the sentence. Ramila elu ha-mesorot. That may refer to the mesorot, how particular words are read. And we'll see four examples of mesorah. Mesorah meaning the oral tradition of how to read the written text. An Rabbi Yitzchak mikra sofrim, and now we have an explication. The itur sofrim, karyan velo chtivan, chtivan velo karyan. Those four categories. Mikra sofrim, we'll see what this is. All of these are halacha l'moshim yisina. Now, mikra sofrim, what's that? Eretz, meaning eretz or aretz. Shamayim, with a kamatzor patach. Mitzrayim, again with a kamatzor patach. The fact that words read are vocalized slightly differently when they're at a pause. A pause is the middle of the sentence, we call it a nachta, or the end of a sentence, what we refer to as a siluk or sof pasuk. All right, for instance, segoliot, the words that have their last two syllables are a segol, all have the penultimate vowel becomes a kamatz. Tiferet, Tiferet, Derech, Derech, etc. What is Itur Sofrim? Achar Tavoru, Achar Tadech. A bunch of examples. Take a look in the Ran. You'll see in all of these examples, these are places where the text is modified from what its real meaning is in order to preserve, usually the way it's read is preserve Kvod Shamayim. Take a look at the Ran here. And he says, Kohani Achar Miyutarinhen. All of these examples here achar ta'avoru, achar telech, etc., are extra words, and they're just letiferet alashon. In other words, he said, it just says it a little nicer. In some cases, it's to protect the theological concept, such as tzidkatcha kehareel. Really, it should have been tzidkatcha hareel, but that's not nice towards Hashem, so kehareel. Karyan v'lochtivan, these are examples of texts that are not written in the original text, but we read them anyways. So the word prat, this is when David is going to war, when Hadadezer went to the Nahar Prat, or David went to Nahar Prat, right? Ish, this is when we talk about Achitofel, that when somebody would request the word of Hashem. Ba'im, in that Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. La, in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Bakleita. At, et, in one of the Pasukim where Boaz is talking to Ruth about the great things she's done. Eloi, this is when Ruth says to Naomi, everything you've said to me, I'll do. Eloi de Asorim, this is when Ruth says to Boaz what she's going to do. All of these are words that don't appear in the text, and yet we read them anyways. The truth is that in our text, and this is a problem that I noted in our verses clipped on the top of the page, which in this case they come up to the page, the Ron points out that in several of these cases, our texts are different than the text that Gemara had, and that is an entire study by itself. The interested reader should start with the Gilyon HaShas's famous comments on Shabbat Nun Dalet Amud Bet and go from there. In any case, Halein Karyan V'lo Chatvan, these are all examples of texts that are not written but are read. Chatvan V'lo Karyan, where do we have examples of texts that are read but omit? Nadi Yislach, this is when Naaman says to Elisha that he is still going to have to go worship at Beit Rimon. The word Na is there. Zot Dahamitzvah in Sefer Dvarim, right after the Aseret HaDibrot, you have the word Zot, Sukim for Shema. Of course, the Ron points out, in our Sefer Torah, it is written, and read it. Yidroch Dahadorech in Yirmiyahu, Chamesh in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Im in the Ruth's interaction with Boaz, Halin Katvin Volokarya. Alright, again, in some of these cases, we do read the Pasuk. Amar Vacha Bar Adav Marava Paskin Lahadein Psuka Vatvata Psukin. Here's another Masoretic note. In Eretz Yisrael, they would take this Pasuk that we in Bavel regard as one, and in our text this one, and they would read it as three Psukim, which means it could be an entire Aliyah. Vayomar Adonai Moshe, Hinei Anochi Ba'elecha Be'av Ha'anan, etc. Take a look, and I put lines in there to show where we assume the breaks would be. Now we have some agadah related to the last pasuk about Matan Torah. That Moshe only became wealthy from the dross, as it were, of the luchot. Shinamar psol lechash ne luchot avani. You carve out, the carving is for you. Psol tan shalcha yeh. It's yours. Yosef Rachanina lo haninat Torah lo Moshe lo zaro. Another agadah in the same vein that Moshe was really the only recipient of the Torah. For his kid, Shinamar, Ketov Lacha, Solacha. So he said, Solacha, right? You should write the groat. Map Solatan Shalcha, Aftivatan Shalcha. Just like the carving is for you, so the writing, the text itself is for you. Moshe Nahag Batovatayin, but Moshe was very generous. Not now the Israel, and he gave it to the rest of Am Yisrael. Alavakatuv Omer, Tom Ayin Hu Yivorach, he of a good eye, meaning generous, who will be blessed. Meitir Ravchis, the real Titziva, the Rabbi Itahin Lamedetchem. We're talking about, it says that Hashem commanded me to teach you, which means it was given to be taught to Am Yisrael. The answer is, V'otitziva banilachem, and he commanded me, and I taught it to you. Re'eli matiyatchem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivani Adonai Elohai. Again, this pasuk we had earlier. Hashem commanded me to teach you. No, otitziva, he commanded me, banilachem, and I was the one who passed it on to you. V'ata kitvu lachem et hashira hazot. The answer is hashira lachuda. That's a different story. When it comes to the shira of Hazinu, that indeed was supposed to be taught to all of Am Yisrael. Manti ala yashira azot leib b'nei Yisrael, right? Ela pilpula ba'alma, right? Meaning, at least that the Gemara takes a step back and says, really, all of the mitzvot were to be given to Am Yisrael. That's clear. But the wisdom, the intellection of the Torah, that's something that was given all in the Moshe, and he passed on. Amar Yochanan, ena kodesh baruch hu masher shechinato ela gibor ve'ashir chacham ve'anav. This, by the way, becomes a piece of the staple of the Rambam's second chelek in the Mor Nevuchim about the definition of a Navi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only puts his Shekhinah on somebody who is valorous, and who is wealthy, and who is wise, and who is humble. Kulan Moshe, we learn them all from Moshe. Gibor, how do we know he's Gibor? Dichtiv, by Froz Da'ol HaMishkan. Moshe himself put the Ol HaMishkan over the Mishkan, when we're setting up the Mishkan, V'yamar Moshe Rabbeinu Perso, Moshe is the one who did it, not that Am Yisrael did it. But Moshe did it. Uchtiv Eser Amot Aruch HaKarish. Remember, Mishkan was 10 Amot high, which is, we'll call it 15 feet high, 17 feet high. And Moshe put the entire Ohel over the Mishkan. Ema Da'arich V'Katin. Right, so maybe it was maybe that means that Moshe was tall. That doesn't mean that he was necessarily strong. Elamin Hadeinkratz from this pasuk tichtiv atfos v'shnei haluchot v'ashlichem mi'al shtei yaday v'ashabrein. Moshe says, I grabbed the two luchot and I threw them down. V'tanya haluchot orkan shisha rochban shisha v'ovyan shlosha. There's six tefachim by six tefachim square and three tefachim thick. And that's very heavy, and for Moshe to grab that and cast it down shows tremendous strength. Ashir, how do we know Ashir? Psolachav Sultan Sholchayev. We know from the earlier Agadah that Moshe was able to take all of the what was left, draw the carving, the Luchot, and that was his to become wealthy. Chacham, how do we know? Rav Shmuel, Da'amri Tarvayu, Chamishim Sharei Bina, Nivru'u Ba'olam, Cholam Nidnu Moshe Chaser Achat, Shemar v'tchaser mi'at me'elohim, in that beautiful passage of Tehillim, the one that famously Neil Armstrong read when he was, before he landed on the moon, Tehillim Chet, it says that you made man just less than God, just lower than God. The rabbinic tradition on that is a reference to Moshe, who was one step shy of all 50 gates of understanding that God had. Anav, what's Anav? Humble, d'chtiv, aish Moshe Anav mi'od. Moshe was very humble. You know the whole story of Miriam and Aharon. Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol Nevim Hashirim Hayu. He says, all of the Nevim were wealthy. Menalan Moshe u'mishmuel mi'amos u'miyona. Well, we know, for example, Moshe d'chtiv, v'chamor achad mehem nasati. Moshe pleads his case in front of Am Yisrael against Korach. He says, in front of God, I have not taken one of their donkeys. The Ibalo Agra, la fukiman deshakablo Agra. What's he trying to say? I didn't confiscate it? How is that so impressive? He didn't confiscate it. Alabafilu Bagra, meaning I didn't even do it by payment, meaning he was wealthy enough. So Mishum Da'ani Have, maybe he was so poor. So Elamin Solacha. The answer is that it is from the word Solacha. Again, as we saw, that Moshe was wealthy. Good. So Tanchi Yehi Solacha. Shmuel, how do we know Shmuel was wealthy? Dichtiv, in the parallel passage in Shmuel, which parenthetically is the Haftarah, part of Korach, for that reason, Shmuel says, again, what do you think? Shmuel's trying to say, I didn't steal from you? That's not very impressive. Maybe he was poor. At the end of the first section of Sefer Shmuel, when it recounts Shmuel's life and how he would make a circuit, and he would come back to Ramah, where his house was, which is a strange phrase, he would take his household with him everywhere he went. He was very wealthy. That which is stated about Shmuel is even greater than what's stated about Moshe. Of course, can't be meant literally, because nobody is great as Moshe, but to point out, Moshe's saying, I didn't even take it with payment. When it comes to Shmuel, even if they wanted to, he wouldn't take it. The people responded and said, yes, you took nothing from it. Amos, how do we know Amos was wealthy? Dichtiv, Ayan Amos v'yomer l'matziah. This is in Amos Zion, one narrative piece in Amos, when Amos comes to the Mikdash in Beit El and faces down the Kohen there, Amatziah, representing the king, Dash Melech, king of Israel, Yarvam, Ben Yoash, that is the second Yarvam, and Amatziah told him to go back, and Kalei Nevuatcha, go back to take your Nevuah back to the south, and he said, listen, I'm not a Navi, Loven Navi Anochi, a phrase which literally means, I'm not a Navi nor part of the guild of Navim. Rather, I am a cowboy, a boker, and a bolei shiknim, somebody who dresses sycamores. Rabbi Yosef, are mare gete anavishikvin libishvelta, meaning I have a lot of holding. That's what he's trying to say. So, almost was wealthy. God plucked him up and made him a Navi. Yonah dichtiv, aitin schara v'yerba. When Yonah went on the boat, it says that he went to the boat and he paid for it. Yochanan Shatan Scharashal Sfina Kula, meaning he paid for everybody's travel on the boat. Rav Romano Scharashal Sfina Havidalad Alafim Dinari Davan. We have a tradition, it was 4,000 golden pieces that he paid. Right? So we see that they were all wealthy. Rav Yochanan Metchila Hayam Moshe Lame Torah Umashakha. Originally, Moshe would study Torah and then he would forget it. Until Hashem gifted it to him. After he finished speaking with him, he gave it to Moshe. He gave it to Moshe, then Moshe was able. So we have studied much significant Agadah relating to the issue of Matan Torah and the different pieces of Mesorah and their role in our understanding how to read the text properly. And Amir Tashem, in the next podcast, we will continue from the next Mishnah on Daf Lamed Chet Amud Aleph.